fucker.
I'm going live. You lost your money. You know what? You know how I wanted a DS for so long? Fuck you. I don't now. I bought a Switch.
Well, yeah, I don't even know why you would want one when that's out anyways.
Fuck off. No, all I wanted was a fucking Nintendo DS, you motherfucker.
You know they sell ring lights at Walmart, right?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
How much are they?
I don't know, $25.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
I
should just go out and spring the money on a fucking ring light.
Don't do it though.
Okay. I won't.
Because mine broke within a week.
Wait for you, because you might find one at a yard sale.
No, I won't find one at a yard sale, but I do at the bins. No, seriously though, man, I found two or three of them since then. And I bought a couple of them and they were broken. So now I got ring lights out the ass that don't do no good. Just because you wanted one.
Hey, you know, it'd be nice. That's all I'm saying. Be nice.
But I'm still looking. I can repair the one. I might do that.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's been a week, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get this fucking show on the road, shall we? Shall we? Let's do it.
You're about to witness the strength of creep knowledge.
Good evening and welcome to the 40 and Slip. This is episode 187, 88, I don't know, somewhere around there. Something. Pray, obey, kill. It's time for more cults, people. Cults. Gotta love a good cult. Cults are the best because inevitably people start fucking one another, and then just weird shit happens. It's just the way I think it's wired to go down. You get a weird cult, people gotta start doing weird sex shit with each other. Gets strange. People can't handle it. They don't have the emotional capacity for it. And then goes downhill. Fucking super quick. Super quick, Steve.
Usually the way it happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, my week. So I don't know how well any of you can see it. I'll try to like let you take a look. That's my eye. As much as I can get it open. I don't know if y'all can see that, but and I assume that this is from my COVID shot. I'm not like saying that it is for sure, but it's really coincidental that the day after I had my COVID shot and I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, my eye started hurting every time I would go outside in the sun. And it was really achy all day anyway. But when I'd go outside in the sun, it was really bad. And then flash forward to last Thursday, and it was really bad. I had been having to take my contacts out for a couple days the days before. I didn't realize what it was. I thought I had overworn my contacts and just, you know, maybe got an eye infection or something and might have to keep them out, maybe take some medication or something. But it got really bad. So I wound up calling the optometrist and I go in and he says, no, it's not from your contacts. It's not an infection. It's uveitis, which is an inflammation of the iris. And he put me on an eye dilator and steroid drops. So I've been taking those and it's just gotten progressively worse. So I wound up going back today and he's sending me to an ophthalmologist to get a hold of it because it's just not getting any better. I'm losing the ability to see in the eye. Like last week when I went into his office, I could read the line on the chart on that eye. And this week I can't. So there's definitely some loss of vision. So yeah,
fucking COVID shot.
Yeah. So there's a couple of people in my life who might get their wish, and I might be in a fucking eye patch. One of whom is my boss, and the other one, my son. My son's like, you got to admit, Dad. My son's like, you got to admit, Dad, having an eye patch would be pretty fucking cool. And I'm like, you got to admit, son, having my fucking eyesight would be even more cool.
You're right. But, you know, for the rest of us, I think you go for the eye patch.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the right choice.
Yeah.
That's the right choice for everybody else.
I think.
Quit being selfish, man.
That's right. Go eye patch. So I'm thinking, like, in order to go back to work, because the light sensitivity is horrid. So I'm thinking about putting an eye patch on to go back to work. But it's just, it's not fun.
It doesn't sound fun. Man, I feel for you because I...
Well, I was having to take...
I can imagine. Well,
I am having to take... ibuprofen and Tylenol, because if I don't regularly, it aches so much that it just it literally, it's debilitating, like, because it's right here, like, it just, it's like worse, it's worse than a headache, you know what I mean?
I've had achy eyes before, in fact, you know, I get them quite often. I don't think I have the same thing you do, but I can sympathize with you a tiny bit, because that sucks.
Well, and it makes you tired too. It tends to make you tired. So, just like trying.
Well, maybe I've got uveitis.
Maybe you got some fucking uveitis, dude. When he first said it, I'm like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, from like UV. And no, it's
I thought maybe it was a sensitivity to UV.
No, but it's not. It's an actual that's the actual name of it. It's UVEITIS. It's I don't know. It's
so do you get tired when you go out in the sunlight?
Well, no, it's
or it's just all the time,
because it causes my eye so much strain, it makes me tired. Makes me want to have to lay down and sleep, close my eyes, you know. But the shit part is, a lot of times when I wake up, my eye feels worse. It's just a fuck. Right now, it's miserable.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I get cuts in my eyes at night. My eyelids open up, and I get cuts on my iris and my eyeballs, and it is excruciating. So I have sleep with eye masks and do what I can to have that not happen. But man, when I wake up in the morning, when I got cuts on my eyes, it's so hard to get up and get going for the day.
Yeah. It's, and the one of the bigger problems right now is that I'm not used to it. And like, even if I close my eye, like, so I'm earlier today, like, trying to keep my eye open, 'cause I don't know if I should be trying to keep my eye open or what, but I was getting nauseous, like, walking around, because, like, this eye I can see perfectly fine out of, and this one, it's like I have a haze of shit over the lens. So
why did it only affect one eye? That's weird.
Don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't know. Thank God it wasn't both. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
If it was both, I'd be fucked.
You'd have to learn Braille. You'd be fine.
I'd be fucking Daredevil at that point. There'd be no eye patch. It'd just be Daredevil, straight Daredevil.
So
if I go blind, I'm going to state for the record right now, if I go blind, Missy's got to make me a Daredevil outfit to wear. She's laughing for the fucking show.
Here's what I would worry about. I mean, losing the sight in one eye, I mean, obviously that sucks. It's a bad thing. But driving, man, is that affecting your driving?
I couldn't drive today.
Yeah, you need to drive. You know, I mean, obviously, you just got damn fucking driver's license back.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Yeah. If
that would hurt me the most.
If I can get this under control, I can keep this eye closed. And with this eye closed, I can see perfectly fine. Like, this eye is mint. There's no problem.
So it shouldn't affect you much, as long as you can still read your charts and,
yeah,
you know, so just got to keep that one eye shut. That would be all right, I guess.
I think it's just a depth perception sometimes that you'll lose your edge, the edge of your depth perception won't be quite as keen.
Right. That's the thing that you lose when you lose an eye.
But so, I can tell you, for me, that would even more devastating than not seeing out of the eye would be the loss of the ability to drive.
I can still drive. As long as I have the one eye, I can still drive. I can still be friggin'. Like I said, I'm going poofy shirts. Well, fucking get the
pirates say, sail ships. So
I'll have to get a ship.
Still drive.
I'll have to get a ship. I'll have to turn my ruckus into a ship.
You just ordered that motherfucker
too. That's the first thing I said to the optometrist too. I'm like, listen, doc, I just fucking put $500 down on a brand new 2022 Honda Ruckus. Like, let's get this figured out. Like,
and the next appointment, hey doc, you want to buy a 2022 Honda Ruckus?
you want to take this thing in payment? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't mean to make light of it or anything, because I understand, man. That's not fun. But
yeah. So that's what I've been enduring right now, and yeehaw, fun, hoo-hoo. But yeah, my son thinks that I should go eye patch.
Well, even if you don't need to, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, to go Dan Crenshaw look.
Crenshaw's a pretty good guy. Pretty smart, intelligent looking guy with that thing on.
Yeah, you think so?
I don't know if he really is, but, he looks that way. He looks the part.
Yeah. A lot of them guys do. Amy, exhale. Don't cut your hand off for a hook. Yeah, no. No, I'm good.
Why? No, no, no.
Why would I cut my hand off in relation to my eye?
You said you were going to go full out. You said you were going to play the entire part.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm just going to play the part. Like, I'll just play the part.
Yeah, no, no. That means.
No, no, no.
That means you got to do it.
Hand. That's if I'm going Captain Hook. I'm going Captain Jack Sparrow, motherfucker. I'm going that road.
I think Captain Hook is a better choice.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do. I'm going to get a fake peg leg.
Not fake. No, no. You gotta
amputate my fucking leg and go for it.
You got to go pirate. You got to go all out, man. Kind of peg leg. You can make them opposite, so that you're not
like do this hand down, and then so, this leg down here. Yeah, I got you. I got you. I'm with you. I got to get a parrot. I have a parakeet. Does that count?
That's close enough. Does it sit on your shoulder?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She'll sit.
All right, then you're good. You're good. You're good. Yeah. Then.
I don't know if she'll stay there. She might fly away, which wouldn't be cool for me because I don't want to lose her. I mean. And I don't want to try to tie her down. So maybe we find a fake parrot to put on my shoulder.
I might have one of those around here somewhere.
Yeah.
I did. But
definitely. If I got to go that way, I got to go that way. I was trying to rationalize it in my head today. If you have to lose the eyeball, how are you going to be with that? And I was fuck. God damn it. But on the upside, eye patch man.
I mean, yeah, there's benefits to it.
They make really nice glass eyeballs these days.
I don't need a glass eyeball. I'm going eye patch, Katie.
I knew a dude that had a glass eyeball, and he'd whip that sucker out and show you his eye socket.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I did, too. His name was Mark.
Creepy as fuck.
I used to work with a guy, Mark, at Walmart.
No. I draw the line at that.
Yeah. He worked overnights. He was also the dude, coincidentally, he was the dude that used to sit in the shitter with the other dude in the mornings and do his paperwork. But he had a glass eye and he'd take it out. I want to go. If I'm doing that shit, I don't want to put a glass eye in. Fuck that. Just give me a goddamn eye patch. Let's eye patch this thing up. I've decided. Why fuck around? It's like, for me, it's like going gray. It's like, why do I want to fucking try to color my hair and defy what's happening anyway?
I don't know. That might really age your face without something holding that big crevice open. All that stuff might droop really bad. You might want a glass eye in there.
No,
a little placeholder.
No. Oh, no. Fuck no.
Shit, man. Just get a stick of marble in there, one of those big ones.
Cats, yeah, something to hold it open, you know.
Still going on, iPad.
If you don't want the expense of the eye, the glass eyes, you know, those marbles are about the right size.
Those marbles, just go with the marble.
Should work.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I can find something to turn it if I had to change the shape of it. Figure that shit out. I'm pretty smart cookie. I don't know. I'm trying to like get you. I'm trying to get used to the idea of it now, because if it comes down to it and I have to lose the fucking eye, I don't want to be like devastated. Like that would suck.
You can always lie about how it happened. I mean, some horrible accident. Then
change it, change the story around.
Yeah. I mean, make yourself feel better about it.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, I got the damn COVID shot when Steve told me not to.
I was traveling in I was traveling in Mexico and I was captured by the cartel.
It'd be a new story every week if you want. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Do it like the Joker. Never tell you how I lost this eye. My father was a mean drunk.
See, we got this covered. We got it all figured out already. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you should gouge your eye out right now.
Just take it right out. Just fucking stick a pencil in it. Pull it out live on the
air. Why not? It can't be that bad.
Supposedly you don't feel nothing when you do it, but.
Oh, I'm going to guess you feel something. Stick a pencil in there. I ain't doing it.
Oh, shit. Anywho, did you get any news this week, Steve?
Yeah, I do. I have news. Yeah. I got lots of news.
A lot?
Yeah, that's a little bit.
Oh, okay.
We got a Florida man story.
Florida man.
But unlike most Florida man stories, this is actually a pretty good one. So.
Oh, is this this is Florida man redeemed.
Yes, Florida. But don't worry, we have another Florida story. So this first good. One. Well, a man from Holiday, Florida had to, this is from people.com. Had to think fast after his dog was, I watched this video too. It was pretty impressive. His dog was pulled underwater by an alligator.
Steve, sorry. Fuck Dean Cooper is weighing in. Steve should use chopsticks to get an eyeball out.
But I'm not the one losing my vision, so I don't have to do any of that shit.
All right. Continue.
On Tuesday, Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy is the name of a famous football player. I don't think
Mike McCoy.
He's a Hall of Famer. His daughter ran into my mother's mailbox. It's a crazy story, but true.
Mike McCoy.
On Tuesday, Mike McCoy was walking with his dog named Jake, an 8-month-old Labrador retriever, when an alligator suddenly popped up out of a nearby pond, pulling the pooch under the water. It was kind of like it was kind of like a snake darting really fast. It was super fast, Kelly.
Super fast.
A teacher at a nearby school who witnessed it. So they got alligators at the schools down there in Holiday, Florida.
Fucking nice.
Woo. In order to save his dog, McCoy jumped into the water to fight the alligator. I got around, thumbed him in the eye, picked him out of the water so he couldn't get anywhere until he let the dog go. And in the interim, he decided, I don't have him. I'll bite you, McCoy recalled. So McCoy got bit while this was going on. But he had no hesitation about taking the action to save his little pet. It's actually a pretty impressive Florida man story.
Florida man redeemed right there, I'm telling you.
Yeah,
that Florida actually happened again. Oh, it's happened twice earlier in the year, maybe late last year it happened, and it was like a little floofy white dog, like a
tiny little that's pooch. The video. Had the video?
It's two different ones, but yeah, I watched the video, and dude did almost lose his fingers. His hands were like completely bandaged, and the dog was in a cone with all sorts of patch marks, and they had, I think, 100 stitches between the two of them. So
those alligators, they like dogs.
Dude said, fuck you, Mr. Alligator, though.
Yeah.
However, we got Florida woman. Florida woman,
my favorite Florida woman story, not to derail you, Steve, but my favorite Florida woman story is the Florida woman who after being pulled over by the police and having her purse searched. That once upon they found cocaine. She said, "Oh, that flew into my window just as you pulled me over into my purse."
Cocaine, huh? Just flies around.
Just that's flew right into her purse.
Florida woman, this is from Fox News. Florida woman who was 28 years old, allegedly dressed as a student at a Miami high school just to promote her Instagram account. Florida woman who allegedly went to a Miami high school on Monday dressed as a student was arrested, according to reports. Audrey Nicole Francisquini, I think, is accused of handing out flyers to students promoting her social media account while wearing a backpack and carrying a skateboard and recording her. There's where she went wrong. Recording her interactions on her phone when she was stopped by school security, according to WFOR-TV in Miami. She allegedly told the officer she was a student looking for the registration office and then was stopped a second time because she continued to hand out flyers promoting her Instagram account. Dumb bitch. The school was advised of a potential threat on campus when she allegedly refused to leave, but she allegedly left through a side door before she could stop again. Police identified her through her Instagram, because she recorded it and handed out flyers with that on there. Yeah, that's hilarious. We got two more, but they're related, so we'll go with the first one. Two more
stories today?
Business Insider, Chernobyl might blow up again.
Yeah, I read that about that. Yeah, there's some reactions going on that they cannot get in areas that they can't get to.
Yeah, nuclear reactions are smoldering again, and uranium fuel masses deep inside an unreachable basement room of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in the Ukraine there.
Yep.
Do I even need to read anymore? That's scary enough right there.
Yeah,
right?
That's not good.
Radioactive waste is smoldering like the embers in a barbecue pit, the Ohio a professor.
Like embers in a barbecue pit. These are the cold days of Chernobyl.
Yikes. Anyway, it says it's possible, according to scientists, that the embers could fully ignite and result in another explosion. There are many uncertainties. Max Savelaviev, a senior researcher with the Institute for Safety Problems of Nuclear Power Plants, they have a whole institute for that, in Kiev, Ukraine, told science, but we can't rule out the possibility of an accident. However, when life gives you lemons, make apple juice. Or alcohol. You make alcohol. Alcohol, this is a news story, livescience.com. Alcohol made from radioactive Chernobyl apples seized by the Ukrainian government. The makers of Atomic, the makers of Atomic say that the Ukrainian Secret Service took 1,500 bottles in violation of the law.
In violation of the law, yes. Because that's a good idea.
In 2019, a group of scientists and distillers decided to create a bold new type of booze. Atomic.
I see. Atomic.
This is what happens when scientists get drunk, apparently.
This is fucking what happens with humanity. Jesus.
An artisanal alcoholic spirit made from the ingredients grown in the Chernobyl nuclear power plant's still radioactive exclusion zone. The booze itself was not radioactive after the distilling process, the Life Science reports. Now the first batch of Atomic is finally complete, and all 1,500 bottles of it have been seized by the Ukrainian Secret Services agents for unknown reasons. Because you're using nuclear
radioactive apples.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Yes. It seems that they are accusing us of using forged Ukrainian excise stamps. That doesn't make sense since the bottles are for the UK market and clearly labeled with valid UK excise stamps. I think the people who are making this are in denial, by the way. We don't know why they took our radioactive alcohol. That's crazy. But that is the end of that story. That is the news.
That's the fucking news tonight, Steve.
That's the news. But, you know.
It's a news. It's a news. Shit. Anything else going on with you, Steve?
My wife's son moved out, so now we have a whole extra room.
A house to yourself?
A house to ourselves for the first time.
Wow. Empty nest is now, Steve. There was a whole TV show about that. The guy was a little old, though.
My wife might be suffering a little of the empty nest syndrome, just a tiny bit. However.
And you're happy as shit.
Overjoyed.
He's like running around with his fucking dick hanging out.
No, I still can't all do over that.
The place. No, you can't do still, that?
I can't bring myself to do that yet.
Oh, that's too bad. Every opportunity.
I still shut the bathroom.
Every opportunity I have to go from my bed to the bathroom without having to put clothes on, it's a wonderful thing. Like that in and of itself. I will take that. Oh, fuck Dean Cooper. Can't stay. Got some wife-assigned chores to do. Well, I'm glad your balls are in a fucking jar on the fucking counter for Monday evening.
Like, whatever, man. Go ahead, go for it. You know, we're sitting here doing.
Yeah, we're hanging out here talking about some shit.
And we don't have to do wife-assigned chores.
Yeah.
Chris doesn't have a wife yet.
I didn't sign my wife contract. Josh.
Sorry. I got all my wife assigned chores done already today, so we're good.
Yeah, did you?
Part of which was paying the fucking local taxes. Our local government sucks balls.
Oh,
we have a 1.65% tax rate here. I don't know if that's high, but it sounds like it to me.
Okay.
So I had to pay my local government $1,600 today.
Okay.
Yeah, that sucks.
Uh-huh.
You know how much I owe the state of Ohio?
No.
Zero.
Zero.
Because the state of Ohio recognizes that small businesses are important. The city of Conneaut, Ohio does not.
The
city of Conneaut, Ohio says, give us all your money. And just because they think you're lying to them, they make you not only fill out their tax form, they make you submit to them your federal 1040. So they can verify. That's the city I live in.
Oh, God. God love
it. I had to pay school tax today, too. So that was $600.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, you know, we got to educate those kids.
I didn't tell you what my federal taxes were. That was another story altogether.
Yeah. Did it hurt?
It hurt a lot.
Did it hurt your little bunghole?
I paid more in federal tax this year than I have made in some years. Let's just say that.
Yeah. So fun. Well, you made a lot of money, Steve.
No, we didn't.
Oh, so you're going to try to tell me that you didn't make more than what you were making at the box factory?
I made about double what I made at the box
factory. All right, so you're making more.
That's not what you said. You said a lot.
You make double what your salary used to be is not a lot, Steve.
I was barely over minimum wage at the box factory.
Right, but double that salary, that's a good increase. That's a damn good increase.
Well, we really probably replaced mine and hers and then a little bit more, but not that much more.
Right. And
but because we're self-employed, both of us, now we're responsible for all that fucking.
Right?
People absolutely don't realize $10,000, man. $10,000 in taxes. I had to write a check for that. That sucks. Happens. Balls.
It happens. That's what you do. That's what you do.
But we did it.
Dean says that they've been married for 47 years and he knows how to stay married. Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, whatever. Dean? Good luck, Dean.
Bye, Dean.
Have fun doing those wife assigned chores that we don't have to do that I've already done today.
Yeah. Anywho, pray, obey, kill. I come across this documentary on HBO, good old HBO and their documentaries. Those motherfuckers, they've caused me to lose more afternoons to fucking death and dismemberment and fucking all kinds of other bullshit. That fucking, since I've gotten it, HBO, I've watched more of those friggin' documentaries than, I mean, in a long while, because it's, they are loaded with good documentaries. This one, and Katie said she was able to find the English dubbed version, which I didn't look for because I prefer to read the subtitles anyway, because I get a better grasp on it that way. But you said you were able to find the English dub version of it on there?
Yeah, but it was weird. It was like only available on my phone. But if I was watching on my TV or my laptop, it wasn't an option.
Oh, okay.
So it was really weird, but I figured it out.
Oh. Well, so I delved into this probably late last week, and I finished it up the other morning. And wow. Cults are weird.
Yeah.
Like I was saying at the beginning of the show, I don't know what the fuck it is about cults. And I mean, I'm sure that there are some little religious groups that get together and don't do this type of shit. But it weird shit happens. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, why is it that type of infrastructure creates that every time?
Well, I know why.
Okay, why?
You got a leader who's batshit crazy, generally, right? And believes truly that they're the second coming of Jesus Christ, or whatever it is they're claiming to be, right? Mm-hmm. And that because he is that type of person, or she, mm-hmm. they can do whatever the fuck they want, right? Okay. Yeah. And justify it, right? And mm-hmm. then you've got people who are batshit crazy that follow the batshit crazy motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And because he's the second coming of Jesus Christ, or Buddha, or whatever the fuck they claim to be, they can give him anything he wants and be he wants them to be. So that's the whole story.
So in this little village, what was it, Nutby in Sweden?
I listened to some actually Swedish people talking about the case, and they called it Knutby. I'm sorry, Knutby.
Knutby.
They pronounced it.
Okay. Well, that's better. Okay. That's much better. Knutby.
Knutby. Okay, so What was the group called?
Wow, that's a pretty simple question. I should know that. I don't think they really.
No, it was a it was a Pentecostal church,
right? And they started out as a, because Pentecostal is apparently like the main religion in Sweden. That's your basic Christian denomination that they have there, and they eventually, because of Asa. Mm-hmm. They were kicked out of the formal
Pentecostal church.
Right.
Okay.
Because of their extreme liberties that they were taking with the basic Pentecostal ways.
Now, is her name Asa or Osa? I want to say it's Osa.
There's several pronunciations that I've heard. I was listening to two British ladies talk about it, and they actually called her Usa.
Right.
But then in the film, I know that sounded like they were saying Asa. Right. So I don't know. It's okay, ASA. So anyway,
right. Asa, Osa, whatever the fuck her name is. Waldo or Waldo, whatever the fuck. I don't know. So she comes in and she claims that she is the bride of Christ. So when Christ comes back, Steve, when Christ, shows himself again, she's going to marry him and she's going to pleasure him sexually. in every way possible because that's her purpose. Okay, so now, because that's her purpose, Steve, she needs men here, now, on Earth.
She needs to be trained.
She needs to be training for the battle that's to come, Steve. So I love how they do this. She calls it, it's called a battle. So you have to have sex with someone in a battle.
For, is she attractive?
Asa? Yes. Yeah, she's pretty. Yeah. She's pretty good looking.
Right, I'm just saying.
She's enchanting.
Yeah, she's got a look about her.
Sign up for this shit, you know, just to have sex with her.
I would call her enchanting. She definitely has a way about her.
Yeah, she's got a she has an air of, I wouldn't call it sexuality. It's an air of like a mystique. There's something about her. So there's definitely that. But I think she's one of those people where, for me, I don't know. Like, I think once I peeled back a couple of layers, I'd be like, all right, you're one of them.
The layer that would stop me from doing anything would be the layer that says, I'm the bride of Christ.
Right? It's
kind of a red flag for me.
Yeah, but I'm out. Tapping. I'm good.
What if Christ doesn't approve of you? I mean, he's got the ability to send you straight to fucking hell. But
she's the bride. So,
yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, Steve. So, anyway.
Would you want to sleep with Jesus or Christ or God's bride?
I don't know if Christ wants my sloppy seconds. So,
I don't think you're going to get away with it. I don't think it's. I mean, I don't think he's like. Oh, what? What?
I'm pretty sure.
Sleeping around.
I'm pretty sure that Christ doesn't want to be tunnel buddies with me, so no. I'm gonna pass. Yeah. I'm gonna pass. If the good Lord is coming back to, you know, give it to the bride, then I think I'm gonna stay away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna.
Yeah.
That's all for. That's all. That's all for the good Lord there, Asa.
I think it's just a one-way ticket to hell if you cheat. If you have sex with to Christ's bride, I just think.
Right. So.
But aren't we all the bride of Christ according to the Bible, though?
Yes, sure. And that's actually why they broke off, because Pentecostals typically believe that the congregation, the church itself, is the bride of Christ.
Right, because I grew up in a Pentecostal church.
Right, so right. Her taking
one step away from snake handlers.
And Helga, who we'll get to in a minute, Helga was one who said that, yes, but we viewed our congregation as members of the wedding party. And she was the bride. Which, I don't know how that makes it any better.
It doesn't.
So, but excuse me. So then they have all this stuff going on, and did everybody that's the one thing I didn't get in the documentary. And I know you looked into some stuff a little deeper than I did, Katie. Did they like own this section of town? Because there was all these houses like right in a row, and it was all like,
yeah, apparently that's like a typical way of life in Sweden, and that's how many of the villages are arranged, where it's basically just a village of people who all go to the same church.
Oh.
And that's like a typical lifestyle thing, and they're all Pentecostally based. Now, that's not the way every village and city is, but that's a very, very common village setup, typical, I guess.
Hmm. Okay, so you can see it behind me here on the green screen that I got set up. This is the, so I'll try to point it out. Isn't that where Helga's house was there, where I'm pointing to? I
think that one's Daniel's and Annette's.
And the one behind it is Helga's.
And then that's Asa's. Yeah.
All right. So
it's really like a commune.
No, see, I think you're wrong. I think that one is there. because the police are in front of it. I think that one is Helga's, and the one up here is Daniel's.
They found Daniel first, though.
Right, but there's cops down there too. If you look down in the on my screen.
Oh yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah, I think that there is Helga's house in the middle. Yeah,
there's another house down in front.
Anyway, they all live together. Some Peter Higgins says buffering. Oh, it must be fucking YouTube. I don't know what to tell you. It's something to do with the stream. So they all live together in this little area. They all go to the same church. They all believe in this woman, this Asa, as the bride of Christ. And, like, she literally, like, controls their lives. Like, there's abuse. She fucking beats people. She friggin', she makes people, like, she has them give her gifts, like, and then, like, gives them shit if they don't give her the right types of gifts.
Yeah, because she thinks since she's the bride of Christ that she should be celebrated.
Right.
So she expects of that. And she was really violent. She actually, I got this little nugget from outside the documentary, but she actually had a habit of banishing people to live in her shed on the concrete floor.
Oh, nice.
And they would have to stay in there for weeks at a time. And that was like a form of punishment.
What a gem. She just sounds fun.
She sounds like every male cult leader that I've ever heard of. You know, it's
the right.
Same story.
Very really. Similar. So anyway, she's got this firm grip over this congregation, is how I saw it. At one point, doesn't she take Helga as like her surrogate type Jesus dude?
Yes. And he is a pastor.
Right.
He already has high authority anyway.
And that's like a no-no, but she makes it okay with her. Every time she like makes it okay when it's with her.
Yeah.
And he's married to her sister. Helene?
That was the first wife. Alexandra. No, that's the first.
Alexandra. Helene was the first wife. So she's right. Married now to Asa's sister, Alexandra. And he's having like a sexual relationship with Asa.
Yeah, she had brought him into the church because he grew up really deep into a very religious church. And he actually, when he was a teenager on his own, organized a youth group and started it. Like he was a super extremist guy on his own. And so when Asa met him, she brought him into the group and had him move there and literally introduced him to the congregation as the voice of God.
Right. So then you flash forward to January 10th, 2004. And 4:40 in the morning, 30-year-old Daniel Lind is shot in the head and chest, seriously wounded. And a couple hours later, like they don't even find out until a couple hours later that Alexandra, who's right next door, has also been shot and she's dead in her bed. And she's married to Helga. And here's the funny thing. So Helga is having a relationship at this point with Daniel's wife.
Annette, I think is her name.
Yeah. It gets like so fucking complicated. Like Katie and I were talking about the write-up and she's like, I didn't get a write-up done. And I'm like, I felt bad for her even fucking having to do a write-up for this fucking story.
It was really hard to and especially with the way it was presented in the HBO doc too, it was very artistically done where they slowly introduce stuff to you. So it was really hard to go back and like put it in chronological order. And there's a lot of players involved.
Yeah. So they find all this stuff and the Daniel says that a man shot him at first. A man in a mask.
He's coherent enough after being shot to call the police on his own. Correct. Even though he's been shot, I think it actually was his ear that got shot, but it entered his skull. And then in his chest, but it missed all his vital organs. So he was actually coherent and called the police himself.
Right.
Until a neighbor had heard the commotion and came in to check on him and kind of took the phone from him to talk to emergency services.
Yeah. And then they find out that, did Sarah just like come in?
No, she was gone.
They went looking for her, and she said she did it when they found her.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So Sarah, who's been staying with Helga and his wife, and also like sleeping with Helga at certain points, and she's like fallen in love with Helga.
That's actually one of the things I got more info. I got more of the scoop there. So Helga's married to Alexandra, and Helga isn't really in love with Alexandra. It was kind of an arranged marriage things, and he saw her more as a friend.
And right.
So Sarah was a member of the group that she was just kind of a wild card and involved, and Asa kind of took her under her wing, and she got assigned to be a nanny for Helga. Right. And the whole reason that Helga eventually convinced his wife to let Sarah fully move in was because they believed that Sarah had this aura that fought off illness, because Helga had been really, really sick. And when Sarah stayed there, it warded off his illness. Oh. So Alexandra took the back seat and willingly moved into her children's room to let Sarah sleep with her husband every night.
Right. Yeah, that vagina, it does wonderful things.
Also that, because Helga, I guess, had some sort of rectal issue. He had rectal problems.
No.
And Sarah,
that was due to the fucking candlestick problems that Sarah was shoving up his ass at night.
Right.
So they're having this sexual relationship that they find out that Sarah is the one that has committed these murders. Like, she fully cops to it. Like, she's like, yeah, I did it. And I did it because I was in love with Helga, and I was getting these text messages from God. And Helga was
text messages,
SMS messages. and I was getting them forwarded to me from Helga. And Helga's denying all this at the time. Well, this is really complicated. God, I could have spent like fucking three shows talking about this. They go to trial, and she's obviously found guilty. She admits her guilt. And Helga is put in jail for life. Like, he sticks to his original story, which changes a little bit, adapts a little bit, but it pretty much stays the same. Then they start looking into his first wife, Helene. And she was more than likely murdered as well, in the same house. Wasn't it in the same house, Katie?
Yep, sure was.
Same fucking house. And they start looking into whether or not she could have gotten the head injury that she got by falling in the bathtub, the way that they say that it happened. And that's really fucking sketchy. Well, they also find that she had a toxic concentration of dextropropoxifene in her blood. Which I don't know what the fuck that shit is.
It's a painkiller. It's a lot like morphine. It's very similar.
An amount that the doctor was like, I don't know how she could have even been like standing up at that point with that amount in her system. So they're pretty sure that something funky happened with his first wife now.
Well, but the interesting thing about those drugs was that they were actually able to prove that she did not ingest those drugs orally.
Really?
And so they inspected her for injection sites, like through a shot.
And they didn't find any. Oh, I remember that. And they said that it either had to be vaginally or rectally that she had it put in.
That's what they suspect. Yikes. Because there was nothing in their stomach or in her stomach at all, and no residue. But they also didn't find residue in her butt or anything. So it's a big mystery as to how she had all those drugs in her system.
That's weird.
But also, Helga had a prescription for that drug.
Right. Right.
So it was super suspicious in general.
So then they start questioning Sarah. And they present this video to the court, which is like, what, 20-something minutes long, Katie?
Something like that. It's fairly short. Of her
recreating what happened that night. And, you know, like I said, this puts them both in jail, da-da-da-da. Things continue on. Well, things at the compound, or whatever you want to call it, this little commune, gets not worse. I wouldn't call it worse. Helga refers to it as worse to the documentarians. Well, after we left, it got worse. And they're like, nobody else got murdered.
Yeah, that's kind of so bad.
But I guess like the abuse from Asa got worse.
Yeah, and after that, she had brought in another guy, and I guess his name was Urban or Urban.
Urban, yeah.
Yeah, and Urban, he claimed that his penis was salvation to women.
Oh, yes.
And had relations with almost every woman in the congregation, including a 17-year-old that he manipulated, that he sex with her, he was fighting against the demons to bring Jesus back to the congregation.
Yeah.
I see.
The sick shit, man.
Yeah.
Sick That's, shit.
Wait, why did I think of this shit when I was, you know, younger?
That you want to have sex with young girls, Steve? Is that where you're going with this? That
shit. No. But every woman in there now, you know, the congregation that I went to, they weren't good.
Man. Steve, it gets complicated. Don't go down those roads.
Well, and actually,
all I had to do is claim it was salvation.
Asa also had a long history with underage sexual misconduct. She had been married to a guy named Patrick, who is a member of the congregation, and she actually married him the day he turned 18 and had been living with his family for years before he turned 18.
No, that's not surprising.
And before that, before she came to Knutby, she was actually a children's minister at another Pentecostal church, but got fired for having an inappropriate relationship with a 15-year-old boy.
Oh, yeah. Good old Asa.
So she's got some pedo tendencies herself.
Where was she when I was growing up, Steve? That's all I got to say. Oh, fuck. All this stuff gets really weird. So then these documentarians start looking into this fucking case. Other people start looking into this case. And Helga kind of changes his story that he was blackmailed by Asa, basically. That if he didn't tell the story this way, that he'd never see his daughter again. And for the record, she did have like a fucking vice grip hold over a lot of these people. And a lot of them say that in the documentary, the people that have left, that have since left, like that she had a vice grip hold on everybody. Like you would literally just want the beatings that you would get from her or because of what you did didn't matter. What sucked worse than that was the fact that you had offended her. Like that's how you felt in your brain. Like that the beating, you just get through it because afterwards things will be okay because you just offended her. But that's the bad part, not that you're getting beat. Like it's fucking, the mentality was fucking weird. So they start looking into this. There's the two sets of footprints or I don't know, how did they describe that, Katie, that go around the house?
Yeah, she said she parked far away from the house and walked in. And so in theory, they should really only be looking at footprints. Well, there was a tire tracks of a car that pulled up rather close and a similar set of footprints got out from the car.
Right. So they basically kind of loop around the house. And then there's her track that she claims. But they can only track
one way in.
Right. That she claims her tracks are the ones that came from where she came in from the woods, came down through, and came into the house, and then went back out whence she came.
Right.
And
but she
they
also
tried
said
to...
she walked in somebody else's tracks while she came in, too.
Right.
So, but yeah, tracks don't match up to what they're finding.
Right. So these guys that are doing this documentary, they start poking around with Sarah. because nobody's gotten Sarah to talk in forever. And she gives them access to the full video of the recreation, which they showed the court 20 something minutes. What was it, over like 2 hours, four or something like that?
I want to say it was like over 3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours long that they edited down to 20 minutes. They literally walk her through everything. It's not, it's more like they shot a movie than they let her just tell them what she did. Like, there's all kinds of, well, you should do that closer. And, you know, just stuff like that. Like, them telling her what to do. And her not really knowing what she needed to do.
And there's a lot of her going in and out of character to where, yeah, you know, they're really trying to be serious for the recreation. But then she, like, bursts into a giggle. And it's like, sorry, start all over.
Yeah.
And it's really awkward.
And the one of the weird things is, and she's steadfast on this, is that she fired from a certain distance away and the gunshot wounds on the body are close contact gunshot wounds. It's very easy to tell the difference. And so they keep asking her about that, and even the documentarians are like, hey, you know, there's this big discrepancy. And, you know, she keeps saying, no, I did not fire the gun that close to her. And she also says that she didn't really make any noise when she shot her. And the first shot went into her hip. It didn't kill her. Then she got up closer and shot her in the head. But she says she made no noise. I think she said she might have made like a whimper or something.
Yeah, she basically said there was no reaction to that initial shot, which she was surprised by because she was expecting that. She knew like, oh man, I'm going to have to get my second shot off quick because she's going to flail out of bed.
Previously, she had come in and hit her on the head with a fucking hammer.
That was like over a year before.
A year before, she had come in and fucking nailed her in the head with a hammer, and she had fucking gotten right up. So, all this goes down. They start peeling back some of the layers of this onion, these documentarians, and they're asking all these questions. And there's, I won't say that it didn't happen that way, but there's some really weird shit. Like the fact that Daniel said that it was a masked man that came in and shot him.
I did get a little bit of clarity on that.
Okay. All
that
right.
was
What's
a point that
on?
Really stood out to me, because that was like, they talked about it in the documentary. They played the 911 call and they figure out that Daniel is the one in the background. His neighbor that came and took the phone from him was the one asking him, like, who was it? Who did you see? And you hear Daniel in the background saying it was a masked man. Well, but then the documentary goes on to investigator saying it's easy to assume that a masked man intruding your home is a large man. So they started looking for a large man.
Oh, but okay.
Apparently, Daniel was still conscious by the time paramedics arrived. And he actually told the paramedics that the attacker was of slight build, a large man. And Sarah did, they never mentioned this in the documentary, but in another thing I watched, Sarah did admit to wearing a mask. Before she walked to the house, she put a stocking, like a pantyhose, with eye holes cut out over her face. So she was wearing a mask.
Okay. Yeah, and... But there are these discrepancies, which are kind of strange.
Yes.
And, you know, you flash forward again, you know, like I said, with these documentarians, and they're interviewing Sarah. And they ask her about these shots. And they show this. They do it at the very end of the documentary, don't they, Katie?
Yeah.
And they ask her again about the shots. And, you know, was somebody else involved? And she says at the last moment in the documentary, and obviously I don't know if this is the last moment in the time that they spoke to her or whatever, but The last thing that they show of her is her saying, I don't know if she was dead already when I shot her.
Hmm.
Because you do have this other set of footprints coming into the house that night. Is all this weird shit. Did they ever say whether or not Alexandra was drugged?
No. Yeah, they didn't, and that's actually one of the things I sought out, because I wanted to know what did they determine the time of death was. If they were able to narrow down a time of death to the point where it just doesn't match up to the time of the shooting. And right. then also, yeah, like toxicology and stuff. But I couldn't find any of that, nor with Daniel either. I mean, I know that he lived, but I really don't know. You couldn't find much on him.
Right. And see, they start going back through all this stuff, and they start realizing that Asa had a lot of influence on this. And they never, were able to pinpoint anything, but... they found text messages between Alexandra and Asa where Alexandra was like, I can't wait to go home. And meaning she couldn't wait to die.
Yeah. Mm.
And I started beginning to wonder towards the end of the documentary if Alexandra set it up with her sister, to be killed. So that, because they view suicide as a bad thing. But if you're killed by somebody else, then that's okay.
It's a possibility.
And I wonder about if that
angle of Alexandra, because I feel like Asa absolutely was involved and wanted, because Asa was the one who implanted that idea in Alexandra, that Asa kept saying, right. I think it would be so wonderful if you went home. Right. Meaning, if you go and went and met Jesus, I think it, that would be wonderful for you. And she implanted the idea. But I didn't think about Alexander being a willing participant.
Yeah, I think she was. I honestly think that she was. I think she knew.
A lot of the cults that, they view that as a good thing. Going home to meet whatever.
Yeah.
That was a very common thread.
And this is a story, I apologize, I don't even care that Katie didn't do a fucking write-up this week. She was like, I didn't get to do a write-up. I'm like, fuck, I watched that thing. Yeah. So I would recommend to anybody that wants to know more about it to look it up, or if you have HBO Max, watch the documentary Pray, Obey, Kill. It's pretty complicated, and there's a lot more ins and outs to what happened, but... this is some fucking weird shit. And there was one person that described Asa, and I told Katie this early on when we were watching through the documentary, that they described Asa as this woman who the people of Knutby were it was one big dollhouse for her. And she just was arranging all the people like her dolls. And they kept cutting to this scene that they did this model of the town in the documentary where they would take off sections of the house and stuff, and you'd be able to see inside. And they did that. I thought that was a great way of relaying that from the documentary perspective, that she really was, she was just manipulating these people.
Yeah. And she was known to kick people out as well and banish people and decide that people were no longer useful to her. And there's actually a lot of debate where a lot of people insist that this was not a cult for the fact that people were allowed to leave. People could come and go as they pleased. Oh, and yeah, Asa didn't care. She's like, if you want to go, fine, go. So in that aspect, it
was
not that
the defining?
Until the guy tried to leave and the guy dragged him back.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I know that's one of the definitions, of a cult, but... that's not the end all be all.
But I think that act kind of broke things.
Yes.
Because that was when the dude wound up turning himself into the police.
Right.
By accident. He didn't mean to do it. That was the funny thing.
Yeah, because he thought he was saving the man's life.
Right.
By dragging him back, because he would have been banished to hell if he left the church.
Right.
So he was giving him salvation by forcing him to stay.
It's kind of like people who tell me to go get the COVID vaccine because it's going to save my life. Yeah, same. I get it. They think they're doing the right thing. Sure.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
Maybe it will. Wear a patch maybe it won't. For the rest of my life.
Maybe
the
it will. Maybe
path to
it
hell
won't.
Is paved with good intentions.
Sometimes
well, that's
it is.
True, and I think it's a lot of the reasons why people fall for this shit because they believe they're doing the right thing. You know, it's easy. It's easy to get people to fall in line. I mean, look, we're all wearing masks and shit. Not saying that is, you know, the wrong thing to do. I'm just saying, how easy was it to get us to do that?
I say this is what I say about that whole thing is that yes, in and of itself, is it in a way scary? Yes. However, mm-hmm. The other thing I will say is that should we ever have a fucking real pandemic, this country's fucked.
Oh yeah, we're fucked.
This country is fucked because of people with that mentality.
People like me.
It's just true. It's just the truth of it. People that want their fucking freedoms. And I agree. It's a very hard. It's a really hard line to fucking walk. But I think there comes certain times when you have to either. I think this is the major point of the whole thing. If they did nothing and a shit ton of people died, people would be like, look at what they did. Look at how they didn't do anything. And all kinds of people died. And they did something. And then like, okay, so people died, but maybe not as much. I don't know. And we'll never fucking know. We'll never know.
I think on both sides of this argument, we're both right. And that's at least how we look at it. So people like the guy who told me today, listen, you need to go get your...
Oh, I don't give a fuck if you're vaccine or not.
Right, you don't, and you shouldn't. However, he feels like he's doing the right thing by pushing me hard. You know, it's not like, oh, you should get a vaccine and then talk about something else. Hard, you know, hard push. And I believe I'm doing the right thing by holding off and not getting it because I don't want to wear a fucking eye patch for the rest of my life. Whatever, you know, whatever symptom side effect I'm going to get, because you know, damn straight, if there's a side effect to get, I'm the one who's going to get it, right? So... You know, both sides of it, I think, are right in their own ways.
I think that, yeah, there's good evidence on both sides for different shit. I think that it should be choice-based, but at the same time, I think that in the event that something serious happens, we're fucked. In the event that something serious happens in this country, the mentality in this country will fuck this country in a fucking heartbeat.
If there were a
from my cold dead hands will kill this fucking country. I'll guarantee I will fucking put that in writing right now. That will kill that type of mentality will kill this fucking country one day. And that's not to say that that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that
it's also
what
made this country great, though.
Right.
Too, you know,
right. At the same time. So I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but that type of mentality and the fact that they're unwilling to bend even an inch. When it comes to anything, it's just going to wind up being an issue at some point. So it should be interesting to watch. John Teeter was wrong, Steve.
Yeah, most time travelers are.
Yeah. So wait a minute.
I'm sure this is.
Is it Timmy the furry dingo? Or is it
Timmy? I like Timmy. It's Timmy. Timmy.
So what do you think about furries? Could Sasquatch be a furry? I think that we've considered going to a furry convention.
We were fun. This close.
We were close at one point in time. Didn't make it, though. Didn't happen. I heard some
not
pretty funky
furries,
shit goes on there.
As non-furries going to a furry
talk
convention.
To the furries. Yeah, yeah, I'm not getting a no costume.
Fuck no.
I overheat like... nothing regularly. I do not want to be in a fucking big
and I just
costume.
Have a partial furry costume.
All that sweaty nasty shit. How is that fun?
I don't know.
How is that good? Like I never liked having sex like on hot summer nights. Like but they like doing this shit with like the full costume. I mean, what questions would you have for a furry assuming I am a furry? Dude's a fucking furry, Steve.
He's a furry.
Or she. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think they're furry at all. I think they're just a troll, but they're a funny troll.
Could be. Like, could be. Yeah, we'll give them the time of day. Yeah, well, the show's over, so they can come back next week. We'll be talking to Tom Reed from the Berkshire's UFO incident. I talked to, Tom is not a furry. I talked to him just yesterday or this morning. And confirmed for
well, you know, we do not have confirmation that he's not a furry. We might have to ask him that question.
We will definitely ask Tom if he's into furries or if he's a brony. He could be a fucking brony.
I might be a little bit of a brony myself.
So. Yeah, you getting into the old My Little Pony action?
I've found a bunch of them, and I make money off the bronies, but
I'm sorry, but what is a brony?
It's a dude that is into My Little Pony.
A grown man.
Like celebrates My Little Pony.
I didn't know there was enough of those to make a name for it.
There are a ton of those.
Do your research, Katie. You want to do a show on bronies, Katie?
I think I'd like to skip over that one if that's okay.
Bronies are a little, even worse than furries, I think.
I believe it. I see the implications there. I'm going to take a hard pass.
No, I don't think they're sexual, though. I don't think the bronies are sexual.
I highly doubt that, Steve.
They celebrate the fantasticalness of it, really. Because it's like, it's a fantasy like every other fantasy, like Lord of the Rings and
it is a little sexist of me to assume that. Because, I mean, Joe Rogan even has a bit about how guys should be able to get sent flowers. Why aren't guys allowed to appreciate pretty shit? You like pretty shit, don't you?
I like pretty shit. I like pretty
guys
shit.
Guys should be able to get flowers.
I like a nice sunset. I like a nice sunrise. Yeah.
I consider, you know, making my wife move to North Carolina just so I could look at the mountains.
There you go. Look at you go. Look at the places you'll go, Steve.
Yes, I enjoy nature's beauty.
Okay. On that note, Steve, this has been the 40 and Slip episode, I think 188, 187. I don't fucking know. It's one of those numbers. Somewhere in there. Pray, obey, kill. Hope you enjoyed the clusterfuck of information that we put out tonight. We will be back next week on Monday with Tom Reed. I did confirm with him, and we will do a one-on-one interview like we did with Melanie Kirchdorfer. Get a little bit more inside information. I've got a video I've got to watch of his before then, and we will delve in deep. That is one of the more interesting UFO cases that I've come across, and I think Steve would agree with me on that one.
Interesting AF.
Yeah.
That's what the kids are saying nowadays.
Yeah. All right. YOLO. Oh, that was years ago. Anyway, until next week, see ya!